Hey everyone, Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton here with our weekly update on social media. Thank you as always for joining us. It's the first episode of the new year. I hope you've had a wonderful Christmas season and of course the best for a healthy and happy new year. Of course, during the holidays, corruption is always operating, right? Corruption never takes a holiday, and Judicial Watch to that end continues to sue in federal court and in courts across the nation for records about what the government's up to. One of the key issues that I've been concerned about, and I know Americans have been concerned about, is the personal safety of the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. He was nearly killed twice by assassins, including one that nearly took his life by millimeters and took the life of an innocent American citizen in addition. And then he was at a he was golfing in Florida, and only by the grace of God did a Secret Service agent happen to see a rifle sticking essentially through the bushes that had been there for Lord knows how long, could have easily killed him. It was a in fact, there was gunfire associated with the assassination attempt then. And then he most recently was here in Washington, D.C. with his top team, including Vice President Vance and Marco Rubio and other top people. And he went into a Washington restaurant, again, under the alleged protection of the Secret Service. And as I noted, they walked him into an ambush. Here's some video of that scene. I don't care how you slice it, that's an unforgivable failure by the Secret Service to put the President of the United States within arm's length of those radical leftists. How the heck did they get into the restaurant? They obviously had planned it. They knew he was coming because, I don't know about you, I don't walk around with banners ready to protest. And there were knives on the table. Who knows what else was available at the restaurant? And after he had been nearly killed twice, they walk him in, and not only were they present, but they were within really close enough distance to do harm to the President of the United States. And the reports are that after the event, President Trump and his top White House staff were quite unhappy with the Secret Service about what happened that day. And I don't blame them for being unhappy. And we've had the assassination attempt up in Butler. The FBI has been hiding records since then about it. So is the Secret Service. We are in litigation over that. Why are they hiding records about the Butler assassination attempt? Is the investigation ongoing? I don't think so. Why are they hiding records? Why is the Secret Service hiding records about the Butler assassination attempt? Because they want to cover their failures. And I haven't seen much in the way of congressional investigations into the Secret Service's failures in that regard. And this is why Judicial Watch, again, steps into the breach, steps into the gap to provide leadership to find out what went on. And we asked for records about that incident at the restaurant where the president was walked into an ambush of leftists in a way that put him at risk that should never have occurred. And we filed for records about the issue, and we've gotten the runaround. getting so angry about it, I'm pulling out the wrong press releases about it. Well, here it is. We asked for all internal emails and text messages among Secret Service officials in the Presidential Protective Division regarding the presence of Code Pink protesters. Code Pink is a radical leftist group appearing at Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab Restaurant here in Washington, D.C. on the evening of September 9th, 2025, while President Trump and other officials arrived to dine there. And we asked for these records, and of course, we've gotten no response. We filed the request the day after it happened, on September 10th. And the lawsuit was filed, I guess, just this past few weeks, last week. I guess last year, technically, but at the end of December. And I don't know about you, but I'm desperately concerned about the president's safety. I really am. I think the left has been angling to kill him for years. Remember, the Democratic Party and the Congress wanted to deny him Secret Service and effectively put him at risk for being killed. Joe Biden's gang denied him adequate protection during the campaign. And then, of course, you've got the basic incompetencies and the DEI approach of the Secret Service that has placed him further at risk. And that's why we're asking for the questions, because I think it's important that we highlight the fact our president's at risk. The left killed Charlie Kirk. They're not backing off. In fact, they're celebrating his death. And when you call someone a Nazi or a tyrant or whatever you want to do, the left's terms of propaganda to dehumanize and justify violence against their enemies, the risk remains. And do I think the Secret Service is up to the task? I don't. The record demonstrates they're not. Butler, Florida, and then here in Washington, D.C. And I've seen other instances personally where the Secret Service has failed to secure the White House. I was over there in 2020. There was a big event. And it was clear the Secret Service hadn't secured the White House properly. It was open to the public, as far as I could tell, just outside the gates. And anyone who wanted to get in probably could have gotten in. And I was concerned then for the president's safety. Because you remember, all the leftists were agitating around the White House property around that time. You remember, they wanted to get in and kill President Trump. So this is a longstanding issue, and the Secret Service is an agency that is a mess, to put it charitably. And Judicial Watch has been second to none in trying to expose the failures of the Secret Service. I mean, we exposed how the Secret Service leadership hung their agents out to dry as President Biden was allowing his dogs to bite them. I think there were 25 incidents we helped uncover through our FOIA litigation and as a result of whistleblowing from the Secret Service. Imagine working at a company where the boss allowed their dog to attack 25 employees. That was going on at the Secret Service. And what was the response of the leadership? Don't say anything about it. And then there was an incident up in Massachusetts where at Obama's mansion, his seaside mansion, his chef died in a pond. Secret Service blew that investigation as well, blew that rescue because they didn't have the equipment necessary. They went to the boat. One wasn't working. The second one I don't think was working as well, and they had to get the groundkeeper's boat to go and search for the poor guy, the poor Obama chef who died. So I'm concerned. And, you know, the media has picked up on this, and I'm glad the media is picking up on this, because one of the reasons, you know, Judicial Watch is a nonprofit educational foundation. So what we do is we use litigation, use lawsuits to educate the public about what the government's up to, both the good and, well, mostly the bad, because it's usually up to no good. We're failing the taxpayer and putting lives or rights at risk. And that's true about the Secret Service. And you can see the New York Post picked it up as well. Watchdog group demands answers after unbelievable Secret Service lapse by Trump team. There you have a picture of the incident. These people were allowed to get within arm's length of the sitting president with knives and who knows what else in the restaurant available to them. A former FBI assistant director, Chris Swecker, called the incident an unbelievable security lapse. I can't believe they would let random people sit in that close proximity to them. That's crazy. That's like the days when Abraham Lincoln would ride down Pennsylvania Avenue in his coach and buggy with no protection. So this is a concerning issue. There are a few issues here. There's the fundamental issue of the Secret Service's inability to do its job, which is to protect the President of the United States. It's failed repeatedly. And thirdly, there's a cover-up of that failure. And that's where we've been highlighting in federal court. This isn't the only federal court case over the failures of the Secret Service. And more's coming. I mean, they let someone with a gun get into a golf facility where the president was at. We're getting a stonewall on that as well. So Congress isn't doing anything. The media obviously hates Trump and would be happy to see him go, so they don't really have much of an interest in holding the Secret Service accountable. So it's up to Judicial Watch again. So I'll let you know if we get anything. But Secretary Noem, I suggest you ask your colleagues who work for you, why are they stonewalling Judicial Watch's request about this? Really outrageous. So pray for the president's safety in the meantime, because this city is dangerous. And if I were him, to be clear, I would add extra security. I would have private security. I would have the military provide additional security, other federal agencies, the diplomatic security system at the State Department, which is probably pretty good, U.S. Marshal Service. The Secret Service needs all the help they can get because I don't think they're capable of doing the work. We're supposed to forget he was almost killed under their supposed protection. And nothing's been done for accountability in that regard, at least nothing sufficient. I'm sure they'll point to some immaterial thing they've done or something marginal they've done to try to fix their systems. They don't even want to admit they screwed up in many respects. I mean, everything we've gotten on the Butler assassination, by the way, has come from the locals. Nothing from the feds. It's now over a year, it's almost a year and a half, right? And still no records from the FBI in the Butler assassination attempt. Outrageous. You know, some of the most disturbing records I've ever seen under at my time here at Judicial Watch has been records concerning the purchase and use of fetal remains, basically the body parts of aborted unborn human beings, paid for with your tax dollars. And we've investigated and uncovered information that should shock the conscience of any American. Yet we fund it at the federal level. Not only have we funded it, but it looks like we continue to fund it. And what goes on is that we pay for baby parts. The organs, the skulls, the skin, you name it, of babies. And we've previously uncovered up at the University of Pittsburgh, they've got basically a chop shop. And they highlight their saw used to cut apart unborn human babies. And does it get any worse than that in terms of what a society does to its young? I mean, abortion's bad enough. But then we monetize the killing of babies and incentivize the killing of babies by pretending we need it. For humanized mice, that's what they do. They take the bodies, and they try to basically create little Frankenstein mice. It is grotesque. And I talked about this, some of the work we've done in this area a few years ago. Listen to what I had to say.
And they're good. They're hard to describe. When you see an invoice, let me pull one out here. Thymus, second trimester. Liver, second trimester. The fee for each is blacked out. $750 paid via Visa.
Document after document showing that livers and organs of unborn human beings in the second trimester are being sold to this lab. Now, they would say not at a profit, I would presume. That deserves further investigation, and frankly, it ought to be under criminal investigation. But really disturbing material. And I tell you, we've got all the documents here. You can go through and see document after document. It is a catalog of horrors that I've never seen before here at Judicial Watch. That was several years ago. You can tell I'm a little less gray then. But we still fund it. And the Trump administration is, to its credit, announcing that they're going to curtail certain funding of this type of research. And of course, the left is apoplectic. But right now, the money's going out the door, as best I can tell. And looking at the University of Pittsburgh, we're still demanding records for what they've been doing over there. Because, of course, the Biden gang had zero interest in curtailing this. And so we sued for records under the Freedom of Information Act after we filed a FOIA request earlier this year for all documents and communications of officials in the Office of Extramural Research concerning the final research performance progress report of a specific program at the University of Pittsburgh. And we sued HHS over it. And here is the, let me bring up the lawsuit. Nope, that's not the one. And this is what we're looking at. It's a genital, urinary, reproductive and urinary development molecular anatomy project that receives funding from the National Institutes of Health, NIH. The abstract for the project number we were interested in receiving is titled University of Pittsburgh as the GUDMAP Tissue Hub and Collection Site. The fiscal year 2016 grant for $600,000 supported the procurement, processing, and distribution of human fetal tissues. And this is how they described the project in their own words. The Health Sciences Tissue Bank at the University of Pittsburgh has been involved in human tissue procurement for over 18 years. So almost 20 years of trafficking the body parts of human beings killed by abortion. Accruing fetal tissues. The fetal tissue has been in place since 2005, the program. They say they have the infrastructure for dissecting specimens and collecting different tissue types. In this calendar year, we've dispersed over 300 fresh samples collected from 77 cases. Okay, let me try to translate that. If I'm reading it correctly, there are 77 dead babies who were cut up and their remainders, their body parts were sent out, either used internally or sent to other institutions, hundreds of places. The collections can be significantly ramped up. They want to ramp it up, as material could have been accrued from as many as 725 cases last year. So they're complaining they didn't mutilate the bodies of 725 unborn human beings killed by abortion, as opposed to just 77. And then they talk about how they can isolate the urogenital system. First time I've used that phrase or seen that phrase, urogenital system, kidneys, urethras and bladders, from various developmental ages, 6 to 24 weeks. 24 weeks. Look up what a baby's development is at 24 weeks. It's like something out of Dr. Mengele. It really is. So on and so forth. Here, look at this. We have produced publication quality images of these organs, including kidneys and bladder, and have also been able to isolate and expand cells from the various genitourinary organs. And back in 2021, Judicial Watch and our friends at the Center for Medical Progress uncovered that nearly $3 million in federal funds were spent in the University of Pittsburgh's quest to become, quote, a tissue hub. So this is part of that process. And they were taking babies up to 42 weeks, which means up to the moment of birth. This is not the first time we've uncovered records like this or sought to uncover records like this. And the records we've gotten have been nightmarish. In September, let's go back and look at some of this other stuff here. Talked about the humanized mice. Well, this is a classic. Look at this headline. Does it get any worse than that? I mean, do you even want to hear the details of that? Look, here's the key phrase. Among the specific characteristics the tissue is being marketed or being sought, age range 16 to 24 weeks, so way into the second and third trimester, and tissue should be fresh and never frozen. And they send the quote. Now, there are questions about whether it's all legal, because there's a profit. It's in violation of the law. And I don't know what the Justice Department has done under Trump, obviously not under Biden. And I mean, because some of this was uncovered by Judicial Watch in the first Trump administration. The Trump administration tried to turn the spigot off. But obviously, it continued into the Biden administration, or continued with the Biden administration, and now the Trump people are trying to turn it off again. And we have a second lawsuit ongoing as well. We just filed kind of like hand in hand with this one. Because based on the prior work by our friends over at David Daladin at the Center for Medical Progress, who you may recall uncovered, used videos to uncover the sale, seeming sale of the body parts of unborn babies killed by abortion by Planned Parenthood. There were concerns that there should be criminal investigations about this. And Senators Grassley and Lindsey Graham of the Senate Judiciary Committee asked the Justice Department to do something about it. And we want to know what they did. So we sued for information about what, if anything, they did. Specifically, did they tell the senators, hey, we got your letter. We're going to try to pursue these claims that these organizations such as Planned Parenthood were in the business of trafficking human body parts in violation of law. So I don't know about you, but when I see tax dollars are being used to, like, authorize a credit card to be used to be purchased, to purchase human body parts, organs, where they talk about the skulls of human beings, of babies killed through abortion, what sort of country are we that we would allow that to take place, let alone fund it with tax dollars? So, yeah, we began doing this work in 2021, and it's 2025, and as far as I'm concerned, we're never going to stop. Either exposing what went on, highlighting what may be going on, and making sure it just doesn't happen. Really important work, again, by your Judicial Watch. So two new lawsuits on the sale or transfer or use or misuse, however you want to term it, of the body parts of dead babies by these Frankenstein scientists. Humanized mice. That's all you need to hear, isn't it? So the crisis caused by the Biden administration's basically mass invasion program continues to reverberate. President Trump, to his credit, extraordinary development over the last year, shut down the border effectively. We were told that could never happen. That's impossible to happen. You can't shut down the border. It's just too difficult. Well, he shut the border down, and he's taken unprecedented efforts. He would say they should be doing more, and they will be doing more thanks to increased funding, to deport those who are here illegally and encourage others to self-deport. But in the meantime, we need to figure out who's here, who the bad guys are. So there are two categories of immigrants who are here illegally. There are overstayers, people who came here legally using a visa or lawful visa, but nominally lawful, right? But who overstayed their visas. There are people who cross the border illegally, but who otherwise aren't real criminals, according to the left. They're just here working. And then there are the folks who are here illegally, and all the crimes attendant with that illegal presence, but who go on to commit violent and other property, violent crimes or property crimes, et cetera. And the left doesn't think any of them should be deported. But we do know who some of them are as a result of the Biden administration helpfully, I say that sarcastically, authorizing them to arrive into the United States and remain here in the United States despite their status of being unlawfully present. And not only that, they authorize the record of their illegality as a way to get around. Yes, they could literally get on the plane using their notice to appear or warrants for their arrests. And so we want records about that craziness that took place during the Biden invasion. Judicial Watch, let's go to the headline here. Judicial Watch sues Homeland Security for records on criminal aliens under arrest warrants, removal orders as legal ID. Data reflecting, we asked for the records back in February. Data reflecting the number of persons, you can look at it along with me, entering the United States from 2020 through 2025 who used any of the following documents as proof of identification with the data broken out by category. Warrant for arrest of alien, warrant of removal deportation, order of removal on recognizance, which is basically we let you out and you come back when you're supposed to, when we tell you to, order of supervision, notice to appear, arrival and departure form, and or alien booking record. So essentially evidence of criminal conduct. ICE forwarded Judicial Watch's request to USCIS, Citizen and Immigration Customs Enforcement, Citizenship and Immigration Services, and forwarded to U.S. Customs Border Protection, but no records have been forthcoming. In January of 2022, the Biden administration admitted that the Transportation and Safety Administration was allowing illegal immigrants to use arrest warrants as an alternative form of identification to board commercial airlines. As Josh Hawley indicated in the letter, the point of an arrest warrant is for police to actively seek out and apprehend criminals. However, you now confirm that illegal aliens may present arrest warrants to federal officials to board commercial aircraft. So, first of all, it put the flying public at risk. It allowed criminals on the planes. Think of all the Americans who have been put on no-fly lists or watch lists. Tulsi Gabbard, for instance. And the Biden gang was allowing illegal alien criminals, the worst of the worst in some cases, to board planes. No wonder they come here. No wonder they came here. Because under the Biden administration, and frankly, administration prior to the Biden administration for decades, once you got here, you faced virtually no serious risk of being deported. No serious risk of being deported. And the Biden people were not only letting people in, engaging in the largest human trafficking operation in the history of humanity, they were allowing the record of their criminality to be the basis to get them on the plane, to go to your hometown. I don't care where you are, you've got aliens who are unlawfully present in your hometown. So we want to know what the numbers are. Who was doing this? How many? And I know that the DHS has got a lot of work to do, but they also got to be transparent about what the issues are here. And that's why we're in court again against DHS to find out the full truth and the full scope of the risk Americans were put under as a result of the Biden invasion. As I say in our press release, the Biden administration compounded the dangers of their open borders lawlessness by allowing the very warrants that should have gotten criminal aliens detained or deported to be used as an ID to board commercial aircraft. So we have numerous other Freedom of Information Act lawsuits to try to get the full truth of the Biden invasion to expose sanctuary cities like in Boston and in Chicago. Because we're being placed in danger by these sanctuary politicians. Biden's no longer in office. So thank God there's a new administration that's taking this issue as seriously as it should be. But in the meantime, you have sanctuary cities, for example, releasing thousands of people onto the streets who are deadly dangerous to citizens, even though they are illegal aliens who've committed crimes. You know, we just exposed here in our Corruption Chronicles blog. Look at this one. Two sanctuary states released nearly 9,000 criminal aliens with ICE detainers since January. New York and Illinois, between the two of them, have released nearly 9,000 criminal aliens from jails and prisons since January 20th. Among the offenders protected by the sanctuary policies are murderers, terrorists, sexual predators, and kidnappers. DHS confirmed this month. This was written when? It was just last month. So we're doing it through litigation, through journalism, as we're doing it on our blog here. But remember, there's all sorts of pressure on the administration to kind of ease back. Don't be too hard on all these illegal aliens. You're making us nervous. You get the left who hates America, wants it destroyed. That's why they want the mass immigration, lawful or unlawful, doesn't matter. They just want to overwhelm and destroy our republic. And then you get the corporate America types who falsely suggest that we need mass illegal immigration in order to sustain our economy. So there's a lot of significant pressure on those of us who want the rule of law on immigration enforced. You know, people say, well, there's a big debate about immigration. Actually, there isn't a debate about immigration. Now, I know there's a debate in the media and such, and I know people have opinions. But the way we resolve debates about what our policy should be is by looking to the law. And the debate has been resolved under our system of government. You're not supposed to be here illegally, and you should be deported. That's what the federal law says. If you're here illegally, you should be deported. That's how the debate settled. And the Biden administration ignored the rule of law. Many administrations have done that previously, and it's got to stop. Because people are dying. Our country is being harmed. Our national security is being harmed. Taxpayers are being gouged. So this is another important lawsuit from Judicial Watch. So I was honored last month to be reappointed by President Trump to the D.C. Commission on Judicial Disabilities and Tenure. Now, you may not know what that commission is, but it's an important commission here in the District of Columbia. I'm one of seven members, and the commission essentially oversees the ethics and tenure of judges at the Superior and the District Court of Appeals. Here in Washington, D.C., it's an unusual setup compared to the states. We have federal judges that you all generally know about, but then there are judges who deal with cases at the city level or district level, handle most criminal cases, divorces, probate, civil actions and things like that, kind of like your equivalent of state court judges. And what's unusual about those judges is that they are appointed by the president, confirmed by the Senate, and they have a term of 15 years. And after that term ends, they can be renewed for 15 more years, and our commission makes recommendations or renews those terms. Very, very unusual set of issues there. And on top of that, we also have the ability to remove judges for misconduct. So I was appointed first by President Trump to this commission in 2000. So my term ended this year, and the president renewed and reappointed me. So it's a distinct honor, obviously, to be appointed to anything by a president of the United States. So I will be part of a team or part of a group of commissioners advising now three presidential administrations, the first Trump administration, and then the Biden administration, and then now again the Trump administration on judicial issues and ethics issues here in the District of Columbia. The District of Columbia Commission on Judicial Disabilities and Tenure was established by Congress to review complaints of misconduct against judges of the District of Columbia courts. The commission's authority includes reappointment evaluations, as I discussed, and then fitness reviews for senior judges, because after judges retire, they can serve as under the law for some work to help the courts out here in the district. And as I noted in the statement I issued with respect to the appointment, I thank President Trump. I said I'm honored and humbled by his confidence. And of course, this is, I'm not leaving Judicial Watch. This is a volunteer appointment. It's quote, part-time. And I look forward to my continued work with my fellow commissioners to maintain public confidence in an independent, impartial, fair, and qualified judiciary and enforce the high standards of conduct judges must adhere to both on and off the bench. Our nation's capital needs the best possible courts, especially in light of the public safety concerns that have gained national attention. And I do think it's a major public safety issue, at least a significant part of our work. I mean, A, making sure judges are doing their job is inherently a public safety issue. And I've taken stances against particular judges getting reappointed for 15 years because I've had concerns about their approaches on public safety. Now, I'm only one of seven commissioners, so my stance has been a voice of one, essentially. The other commissioners include a federal judge appointed by the chief judge in the U.S. District Court. In this case, it's Chief Boasberg, an appointee of the D.C. Bar, an appointee or two appoint. I'm losing the number track of the numbers here. An appointee or appointees of the D.C. Council. And then two appointees of the mayor. And so I've worked with all the commissioners. We don't share probably views much on politics and sometimes on these judges, whether they should be renewed or not. But we do work hard to do the work we've been tasked with to ensure that judges are acting honestly and ethically. And it's a perfect fit, given my work at Judicial Watch on the very same issue. And as I said, it's a distinct honor to be appointed by the President of the United States to help police judges here in the District of Columbia. And there are many good judges here in the District of Columbia. One of the reasons we've got high crime rates here in the District of Columbia is in part because the D.C. Council has passed terrible laws, some of which have been turned back or they've retreated from. And the judges are kind of been overwhelmed by the resulting work from the laws passed by the D.C. Council. I've encouraged Congress to step in and fix it where possible, but we'll see what happens in the future. I know Congress has taken some more interest in the district recently, and of course the president has as well. So again, thank you, President Trump, for the vote of confidence, and I'm humbled and honored, and so I'll be doing this work as a commissioner here in the district for the President of the United States for five more years. So with that, I again wish you the best for a happy and healthy new year, and I encourage you to begin the new year with a contribution to Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch, as whether it be on immigration, elections, cleaning up the election rolls, exposing the corruption, the lawfare targeting Trump and other innocent Americans, exposing the mendacity and lies of government officials on a whole host of issues, no one has done or does the work Judicial Watch does. And so I encourage you to join our cause and join our movement and make the first, what I hope would be many contributions in 2026 to our cause. All contributions are tax deductible to the extent allowed to by law. And I encourage you to go to judicialwatch.org, judicialwatch1word.org, and make your most generous contribution today. And with that, I'll see you here next time on the Judicial Watch Weekly Update. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and like our video down below.